Ars Electronica 2008. A new cultural economy.
Gave me a kind of bridge maybe to get a kind of a final discussion in bringing back the art question into the discussion, and also by talking about the metaphor. And I think that's something that we maybe didn't discuss enough today. Also, Lars was talking about it, and I think that's a very important point, the relation between performance and meaning, performance and semioticity or something, semiotics. So can there be a reflection within action? So maybe that's the question. So how does meaning come back into this process? And that's maybe what you also say, that there is no intentional meaning in the biological process.
That's the for me the central question. In if you have the old art idea about art as being reflective, either on the medium or on life in general, you know, this reflective element is very difficult to get into interactive art. It's usually the people who stand around the person on the bicycle going through the legible city who are reflecting, while the person who actually engages in the work is having far more interesting experiences. Later on you can theorize about them maybe, but it is a very difficult question, isn't it? I mean, you should have ideas about that.
That's why I invited you all, because I wanted to get answers to these questions. Are there any comments or?
Well, maybe I can give one more comment as long as there are no questions. But, I first try to use classical art theory to study interactive art, but precisely because of this point, there is no distance between the experience and, you know, that which reflects on art in interactive art. I started, and I couldn't use any of the modernist and the postmodern theories. So that's why I started to look for other domains where to get my concepts. And biology is one of them. In the books, there is also anthropology, and we use political theory and anything, you know, to get from other fields of knowledge, you know, how would you call them, concepts of for interactive art. But it is difficult.
Okay. Yeah. So, can you hand the mic to her, please?
Just responding to what you just said, about the suspension of disbelief that functions in other media as a way of bridging this problem of reflection to do with immersiveness, because I see that as a possibility of a way forward. Okay. The question originally was to do with this idea that with immersive technologies that you can't have this aspect of the reflective, yeah? That there's a conflict there, or conflict with interactivity and reflection. I think perhaps there is a way forward, looking at how other media works, for example, out of literature or cinema, with the suspension of disbelief. Because, I mean, as participants in media, we switch, we multitask. And I think often you have something that's immersive for 1 second, and then you use metaphor, or the medium engages a sense of metaphor, and then you switch back again. And I think that this switching in different modes is maybe a way of getting around this sort of idea of it's either a simulated mirror or it's a game that's very mediated.
Okay,
I don't know
yeah.
if it's a very...
Thank you.
Okay.
So, yeah, I also think this also relates back to this question of transparency, because if things are just, it's just smooth interaction, and it's you don't realize the interface or the medium, then it gets difficult to get this kind of reflection, this disbelief. There has to be some kind of, I don't know, some... I just repeat it because you didn't have a mic. So you say that you use narrative to bring it in, so you don't have to disrupt the flow to get this disbelief. So narrative is also a way to get reflection into the interest.
narrative, but also not just a single narrative, maybe two things at once. Yeah? Because then you keep the flow and you're not making it one thing or the other. For example, perhaps you have you're in a VR environment and then you see something that is realistic, if you like, an image of nature, and then the next second it switches to perhaps a symbol and then switches back again, and you hear a voice or you hear a voice and you're not sure, is it your voice in response to you? That the mode of the medium is always switching, if you like. I'll say it differently, like how a poem often works. A poem is not just the words on the page, it's the gaps between. And those gaps between are not one story, but they touch on, say, two stories at once, for example. But perhaps I should stop. I think this is getting a bit too...
No, thank you very much. I think that's a very, very important point. But I dare that we won't be able to go into detail into this, because this really relates to the aesthetics of interaction also, and how to deal with that. And maybe we should just keep in mind that this question of refraction and how to get to this refraction is a very important point, and that would probably be a topic for another conference. So thank you. Of course.
But I just don't want to say that it's negated, that's all. That interaction negates the possibility for reflection or mediation.
Mm-hmm. Can you hand the mic to
you? You're talking about reflection, right? I don't think that it's a matter of reflection as far as interactivity takes place in art venues. It's a matter of what Arthur C. Danto calls aboutness. These works have to be about something. Some of the works are about their own interactivity or the possibility that someone can interact. Like Weibel says, these works don't have any content until somebody gives them content, but then the artwork is about someone giving content to the artwork. But what Danto says or means is that there has to be a discourse of reason or a possibility for a discourse of reason what this piece is about. So on the one hand, we have the performative side, the possibility to interact, and on the other side, this is what I mentioned in my talk, we have to have something that we can deal with on an intellectual basis or discuss, except the fact that this work is interactive. There has to be something more, an extra or something that the work is about. And it doesn't have to be reflective or self-reflective. There has to be more than just interactivity to place it in the art context. Or if it's in the art context, it must be about something. I think this is a very important topic as far as the question is concerned. Is it art, media art, intermediate art, interactive art, or is it something else? I don't need this aboutness, but if it has to be art in a classical way, there must be something more than interactivity.
But would you say, like to come back to Ion's examples, if it's this interactive generation of form, which is an interesting process and also an aesthetic process, maybe more in the realm of production aesthetics, so would that be already aboutness?
But this takes place everywhere, as I understood Ion. This is not a criteria if it's art or not. This can happen on the street, or it can happen, well, everywhere, as I said. If we're talking about media art or interactive art, we have to have a criteria to decide whether it's an artwork, valuable or not.
But then also it's enough if it's shown in an art institution.
No.
I think so, because if you think of Christiane in her exhibition was showing Hans Hacke's condensation cube, which is actually what happens everywhere, every time. But putting that into an exhibition, showing this interaction inside an exhibition context, that makes it an artwork somehow, because it makes a statement.
Yeah, this is what Dickey says. As far as something is in the art place, then it's an artwork. But there has to be something to get in the art world or in a museum or to an art place. And it can't be only interactivity. I don't buy it. There must be more.
Okay, so maybe this is a good final statement. Yeah, okay, so I think also everybody is very tired. Maybe I just give you some terms that I thought that were important, just to, because we are now talking very much about the art context. I think that there were very important terms also, like the public versus the private, activity versus passivity, action versus reflection, as we were discussing now, the question of embodiment, of transparency, of virtuality, and then these whole notions that come together with interactivity, or could sometimes also be better notions than interactivity, like collaboration, cooperation, participation, reaction, interaction, and I think we had many more. And I think it would also not have been my goal to come up now with a final definition or to say, okay, now we know what it is, because I really very much appreciated the diversity of the perspectives and approaches that we heard today. And that's maybe also the occasion to thank all the speakers for their really inspiring talks, and all the audience members taking part in the discussion actively or mentally interactive. So thank you very much. And I also don't want to leave this room without thanking some other people. First of all, it's our colleagues from the institutes with whom we had very interesting discussions in the conception of this conference, and also our colleagues who organized this conference, especially Michaela and Gertrude, who did a good job in getting all the speakers here. And then I would also like to give a warm thanks to the Ars Electronica staff who organized this environment as professional as they always do. And I hope to see you all again tomorrow morning at the Arts Theme Symposium on a New Cultural Economy. Thank you.